Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise that you mean to energize and empower the church of Jesus Christ, O God, to truly be his body, Father, fully energized by the Holy Spirit and resurrection power, fully energized by the Holy Spirit so as to be able, O God, to minister in the power and excellence, O God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the baptism that Jesus brings us into, Father, as he fills us with the Holy Spirit and enables us to walk in a new power, walk in a new inspiration, walk in a new energization, Father. So we ask you, Lord, to open our hearts that we may hear your word, that we may understand your word, that we may seek the fulfillment of your word in our lives. For being baptized in the Holy Spirit is very much a part of the word of God. And Father God, even as we seek, O God, to see your word being performed in our lives, we ask you, Lord, to unfold, O God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us in this place and all those who are going to be hearing this tape, Father. So we commit this time into your hands and we pray that you will truly open your word to our understanding. Open your word, O God, to our being able to receive it. So let the reality of the word be released into us in the spirit and life of Jesus. Let your word, O God, be explained to us in the faith and love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may understand, O God, your word as it is brought to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that it is your purpose to unveil the Holy Spirit from within the temple of our being. So we want to thank you for that, Lord, because all things are possible by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Because by the Spirit, O God, we come alive to the fullness of Jesus Christ. We pray for this unveiling in Jesus' name. Amen. We first come alive to God when we are born again. When we are born again, our hearts are open to God. But there is more to the Christian faith than just being alive to God. God wants us to be able to function in Him. And that functioning comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible says that we must be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to lead us and enable us to function in the name of Jesus. See, because without the work of the Holy Spirit, without the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, we cannot come alive to what God has given us in Jesus Christ. Because what the Bible tells us that of something called the mystery of Christ, right? And we have mentioned that several times here, which means to say that the unveiling of Jesus Christ to our hearts is not an intellectual reality. It is a spiritual mystery that has to be opened to us in revelation knowledge. So it is God's purpose to unveil Jesus to us through the Holy Spirit. What happens when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit? Now, the outward manifestation of our being baptized in the Holy Spirit is to have the ability to speak in tongues. But there is more to that than just speaking in tongues. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit also enables us to function in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we will talk about that too. But what we need to understand is that the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit are all an expression of Jesus Christ. For example, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control are all expressions of the nature of Jesus Christ. So what the Holy Spirit is doing is he's taking the nature of Jesus Christ and he's working it into you. And when he works the nature of Jesus Christ into you, it unveils in love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All right? So that's the nature of Jesus Christ. What do we mean by the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are actually an expression of all that Jesus did in his ministry. So if you look at each one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you will find that Jesus did those things in his ministry. So what the Holy Spirit takes is that to take all that Jesus Christ supernaturally unveiled through his life and bring that supernatural manifestation into the body of Christ. Can you catch that? So there are three classes of gifts. The three classes of gifts that God gives through the baptism of the Holy Spirit are the vocal gifts, the ability to articulate the words of God, all right? The second is the revelation gifts, the revelatory gifts, to be able to see what God wants us to see. The third class of gifts are the power gifts, to see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ manifest in healings, in miracles, in faith that will enable the supernatural to come alive to us. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the gateway to seeing the supernatural in God. All right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is mentioned four times in the Gospel. All four of the Gospels mention this. There are very few things that all four Gospels mention. For example, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection is mentioned in all four Gospels. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is not mentioned in all four Gospels. It's only mentioned in two Gospels. Right? The Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Mark doesn't talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John doesn't talk about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all four Gospels talk about Jesus' baptism in water. And all four Gospels talk about the Holy Spirit coming upon Him and energizing Him and empowering Him for the ministry that He would undertake. All right? So let's look at what the prophet John announces about Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Matthew. Chapter 3, verse 11. These are the words of the prophet John. Right? These are the words of the prophet John. And this is what he says. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So John says, I baptize you in water, but Jesus Christ will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. All right, so he mentions that very carefully, right, very clearly. Let's turn to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. And this is again quoting John the Baptist. This is what it says. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. All right. So now let's look at the book of Luke. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Verse 16. From verse 15 to 16. Now as the people were in expectation and all reason in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now let's look at the book of John. John chapter 1, verse 25, 26, 27, 26, verse 25 and 26. And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize you with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. All right, sorry, I've got the wrong passage. Okay, verse 32 and verse 33. John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. Right? This was after he was baptized in water. When Jesus rose up from the waters of baptism, right? In the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. So Jesus too was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ baptizes with the Holy Spirit. All right, let's turn to John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples. See, the baptism in water, Jesus Christ never partook of. That means he never ministered in the baptism in water. He only baptized, his disciples only baptized in water. Jesus Christ would talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit only in there after his ascension. All right? Two things happened when Jesus ascended. Let's look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20, this is after his ascension. This is after his resurrection. All right, ascension is when he ascended to heaven. Verse 20, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. This was the first time that Jesus talks about of his disciples receiving the Holy Spirit. Until now, they functioned in miracles and signs and wonders under the dispensation of the law. After his ascension, after his resurrection, what was open to them was a dispensation of grace. And in that dispensation of grace, the first thing he does is he breathes over them the Holy Spirit. Right? And this enabled them to be born again. All right? So for the first time, the disciples were born again. And after this, Jesus then instructed them to wait for him. All right, to wait until he would send the Holy Spirit upon them. So you have to turn to the book of Acts to understand this. All right, so after meeting them, right, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit was with him, with them. All right, so every born again Christian has the Holy Spirit with them. But there has to be a necessity of each and every Christian receiving and realizing the fullness of the Holy Spirit within them, inside of them, so that the presence of God will be manifested within them. See, Jesus mentioned this in the book of John chapter 14. I just want to refer to that very quickly. John chapter 14. Verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So Jesus talks about two manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The first manifestation of the Holy Spirit is with us. The second manifestation of the Holy Spirit is in us. All right? All right? So I want you to understand that. So when Jesus resurrected from the dead, the first thing he did was to breathe on his disciples, and they were born again. Right? So he breathed the Holy Spirit over them. All right? So we are born again by the Spirit through the Word of God. All right? But the next part of it is being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus did this after he ascended into heaven. All right, let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. So let's just read from verse 1. This is an account of the book of Acts written by Luke to Theophilus, and this is what it reads. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. Being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This is one of the things you must understand. That after his resurrection, Jesus Christ was seen by his disciples. They talked with him. He taught them. So the resurrection from the dead was not a fable, right? It was something that is very, very fundamental to our Christian faith. That these guys were prepared to die for him simply because they had seen him after his resurrection. Right? They had seen him after his resurrection. He had taught them. He had prayed with them. He had eaten with them. He had fellowshipped with them. Right? So the Bible tells us that. So the Dr. Luke writes, right? The book of Acts is written by Dr. Luke. Like Luke was a medical doctor. So he talks about infallible proofs. All right? Proofs that are beyond dispute. He says that they sat down with him and they talked with him. All right? Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. All right? So at this point, he is going to ascend into heaven. And he's telling them that you have to wait until the Holy Spirit is given to you. All right? Earlier we read in John that he had breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Right? The scripture is not contradicting itself. It's just telling you different aspects of the unveiling of the Holy Spirit. Alright? So verse 6. Therefore when they had come together, they asked him saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So he says something that is very important. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. All right? And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So he's saying that the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so that they would become witnesses. All right? Witnesses. Right? The Greek word for power there is the Greek word dunamis. All right? So we need to understand something. The purpose of the Holy Spirit coming and baptizing us is so that the power of the cross would be released to us, right? Would be released to us, all right? Okay. I want to show you another passage of scripture, which also is very important from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 9. And 10. Now this, he ascended. Okay, from verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So, Jesus giving us gifts is tied to his ascension, right? So, at the book of Acts, Jesus is talking about ascending to heaven, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon his church, so that they would be able to preach the gospel, bear witness of Jesus Christ, right? And in that process of being baptized, they would all receive gifts, and they would be able to function and operate in these gifts. so that they will be able to bear witness for him supernaturally. Can you see that? All right. So let's go back to the book of Acts. Chapter 2. Right? Let's turn first to chapter 1. Verse 9. Let's just read what happened. Right? Verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9. And now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. I want you to understand that in this upper room, the entire church, the entire nucleus of the church was gathered. Right? I'm just trying to tell you that when God released the entire church, all 100% of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right? I want you to know that. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, was baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right? So I want you to understand that, okay? And know that, okay? If they all needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, all of them were apostles, how much more would you and I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? That's the point I'm trying to make. Because there's a lot of false teaching that has prevented the church from receiving what God wants to give them. And so you find that in so many places that the gospel is just preached with our intellect. And if we could just receive and realize the power that comes by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, we will rise up to do ministry in a far more powerful way, right? So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is meant to empower us by the Holy Spirit, all right? All right, praise the Lord. So let's turn to chapter 2, all right? When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now in the Old Testament, this feast of Pentecost was a very big feast that the Jews celebrated. This feast of Pentecost was the harvest feast, right? It was the harvest feast. And it was the harvest that was brought in, and so it was a time of thanksgiving. During this harvest feast of the Pentecost, the peace offering was the compulsory offering that God added to the traditional offerings that the Jews were required to make. So I want you to understand that the peace offering represented intimacy with God. All right? So two things are being two realities are being transmitted through this Feast of Pentecost. One is that it is a harvest festival, and second, it is the only festival in which the peace offerings were commanded to be executed. Now the peace offerings were when the inward parts of the animal were washed and put on the altar and fired. All the inward parts. That means it talked about an innermost communion with God. So this is tied to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being enabled from the inside to function in God, being energized from the inside to function in God. Are you with me? Right? When you are born again, you come alive to God. But now, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God wants to energize your inside parts so that you will be able to function by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. All right? So this was symbolized in the Feast of Pentecost for more than 1,400 years, right? For more than 1,400 years, the Jews had this Feast of Pentecost. It was one of the compulsory feasts for the Jewish people. They had to come to Jerusalem, right? To celebrate this feast of Pentecost. All right? So, it's very important to understand why the Lord chose this day, right? You will remember the teachings that we have done before, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the day of first fruits, right? So, He rose from the dead on the day of first fruits, and that first fruits represented the unveiling of resurrection power. Now, on the 50th day after that, is the unveiling of the Feast of Pentecost. Now, 50 in the Bible represents grace completed. 10 is the number of completion, 5 is the number of grace. So if you put together 10 fives or 5 tens, you get this reality, this prophetic reality of grace being completed. So what God brings about through the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the ability to complete the grace that God has given us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is meant to reveal to you all that Jesus has done for you. All right? Okay? Praise the Lord. So let's turn to chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Alright? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to note the phraseology, right? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now earlier in Acts chapter 1, we found that Jesus talked about them being baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? Right? Chapter 1 verse 5, right? For John truly baptized with water, right? Acts chapter 1 verse 5. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now it is Jesus Christ who is saying there is something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right? People can dismiss it, or it was just John saying it. Now Jesus himself uses the same language. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now what does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 2 tells us what it means to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2 verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Alright? So the whole church spoke with tongues. All the apostles, right, spoke in tongues. Right? They all spoke in tongues. The first manifestation of tongues was such that those who listened to those tongues found that they were actually speaking their language. Now, although they spoke in tongues, the people who were hearers who came from different nations heard it in their own language. Alright? So they were baffled by that. Alright? Now, some people in church have said that because it manifested like that, therefore, all the time when people actually speak in tongues, they must be understood. That's not true. Alright? That's not true. Alright? Because elsewhere in the Bible it says that tongues have to be interpreted. Right? Tongues come to you unknown to your mind. Alright? Okay, so I just want to make that distinction. Alright, let's now turn to Acts chapter 9. Alright, what happened? Hello, let's go back first. What happened when all these guys were baptized in the Holy Spirit? What happened? Alright? Suddenly, all the apostles who were hiding away, until that time they were frightened. They were frightened of the Jews, they were frightened of the Roman soldiers. Suddenly they had the power and the courage to go out and speak the word of God. Suddenly they were able to arise above their fears and go out and preach the word of God. Right? So, verse 14, for instance, of chapter 2. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Before this, Peter was running away, right? Right? Hello. Just 50 days earlier, or 53 days earlier, he had betrayed Jesus Christ 3 times. All right? So when Jesus rose from the dead, he was ministered to in repentance. Right? You know that after the after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, all the disciples were frightened. They hid in rooms, right? They didn't dare come out because they were afraid that people may want to kill them. Now suddenly everything changed, right? Everything changed. They were empowered to speak the word of God boldly, right? Peter suddenly could open his mouth, and all 11 disciples, right? 10 of whom had betrayed, who had run away from Jesus, after telling him that they would stand by him, right? When the real thing happened, they all ran away. Now those same guys were willing to stand in public and being able to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. Correct? Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that 3,000 people came to the Lord on that day. Right? 3,000 people came to the Lord that day. Right, so that was the first sermon that Peter preached, right? Verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word, right? Chapter 2 of Acts, verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Praise the Lord. So that was the impact of the first sermon. So you find that this is the impact of what happens when the Holy Spirit moves in our midst. All right? Okay, let's look at chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. I'm reading from chapter 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Right? Now he says, "I have something. I have the reality of Jesus Christ of Nazareth inside of me." Are you with me? Before that, although he talked with Jesus and he lived with Jesus and he said, "I love you, Jesus," this same fellow betrayed him not once. He betrayed him, denied him 3 times. Now he comes out something like 50 plus, between 50 and 60 days later, and he says, "Now I have Jesus in me, and in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Are you listening? Right? So the Holy Spirit brought inside of him the witness of Jesus Christ. Right? And so he makes a declaration, right? It's easy to open your mouth and say, "I have Jesus." But what results from that is what counts, right? Patulda, right? Right? It is what results from it that counts. All of us can say, "I have Jesus in me." Right? But in this case, right? So he gave them his attention, verse 5, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you." Right? "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. So what happened with the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The reality of Jesus Christ was not someone outside of them. The reality of Jesus Christ became inside. Right? Praise the Lord. Correct? Right? So the reality of Jesus Christ was inside of them, and so they did a miracle, right? "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Correct? All right. Praise the Lord. So in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is one of the things you must understand, that you are being called to function in the name of Jesus. When you're born again, the reality of Jesus opens inside of you. But in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can bring that reality out and function in it. All right? Okay? Function in it according to the calling upon your life, according to the giftings that God has given you. All right? And that's very important. The reason why we are doing this teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit once more again is because from this we want to go into functioning in the gifts and discovering what ministry God has for you. All right? So we're going to take this, right? But you must understand that you cannot be witnesses for the Lord, right, in the real sense of the word, without this inner energization by the Holy Spirit. All right? Okay? Praise the Lord. So let's carry on, right? Verse chapter 4. So what happened to these guys? They were arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin, right? Let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody, put them in jail, until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Because they had just done a miracle. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? So now you find that there is something happening, that there are also repeated fillings of the Holy Spirit. Now in this case, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit in a moment of inspiration. Right? And being filled with the Holy Spirit, he was now speaking to these people whom he was before terrified of. Right? Because these guys actually had the authority to kill him. Right? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Jerusalem, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Right? They marveled. Right? Because now God was moving through them. These were not trained scholars. The people they were talking to were all trained scholars. And yet these people who had the background of being fishermen were now talking with a power, right? That was amazing, right? And they had to recognize it, much as they disliked it. All right? So this enabling power came by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? All right? It overcame their fears. All right? You see, they did the miracle in the name of Jesus Christ, but they functioned in the name of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. So if you and I are going to function in the name of Jesus Christ, in the way in which you're going to see results, then it has to come by the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said so himself. John chapter 16 verse 13, he said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth." Not some of the truth, he said all truth. Right? In John 16 verse 14, he said, "He," the Holy Spirit, "will glorify me. He will take of mine and he will disclose it to you." Correct? Now at the heart of everything that Jesus has is the fact of his name. And so Peter here is testifying, "In the name of Jesus, I have done a miracle. But I did not do the miracle myself. This is the name of Jesus functioning in me." And now we know that the name of Jesus was functioning in Peter the fisherman, simply because the functioning was being made manifest by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. All right? You need to understand that. It's very important for us to understand this because Peter was actually operating in a gift. Right? He didn't say he was operating in a gift, but he was actually operating in a gift of the Holy Spirit. But what is important is that he was operating in a gift of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Can you catch that? Today in the modern church, we have this habit of just talking in isolation about miracles and giftings. Right? And sometimes Jesus is just simply left out. I want you to hear this apostle. Right? He was functioning by the Holy Spirit, but the glory was being given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see that? It's very important to understand that. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at another phrase, all right? Now, I'm talking about incidents that took place after these apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit, so that you understand clearly that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is very crucial to the way in which the early church moved. All right? Okay, now look at verse 29. Verse 29. You see, the apostles were then threatened and then sent away. Right? Now, Lord, verse 29, now, Lord, look on their threats, right? This is the church praying together. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, right? Very important, huh? You see, they are telling that Jesus was now able to stretch out his hand and heal through his servants, all right? Listening, right? So when we lay hands and pray, it is in the reality that Jesus is stretching out his hand through us and praying for the sick, right? Or anointing people for the ministry, all right? Provided you stand in that position of authority, all right? By stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You see, they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. All right? They were filled again with the Holy Spirit. They were energized for a repeated time by the Holy Spirit. So you need to understand that being baptized in the Holy Spirit opens to you the potentials of being baptized, of being filled with the Holy Spirit repeatedly so that you can do the works of God. All right? So it's very important that you understand this. In this case, it was done as a community and they all prayed together and they asked God for something and God filled them. Earlier on, we saw Peter standing alone, right? And speaking to the elders, and he was also filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? Can you see that? There was no fancy stuff around him. He was alone in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by enemies who would have killed him if they had the chance. And the Bible simply records Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and he spoke. Can you catch that? All right? So everything that these early apostles did implied that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, right? They only functioned in the name of Jesus in the right way when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Very important to know that. Which means to say that you and I cannot function in the name of Jesus except in the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's very important to know that. We cannot intellectually function in the name of Jesus, although we can use the name of Jesus, which is what we do all the time. But really, to truly use the name of Jesus and function in the name of Jesus the right way, you have to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And when you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you are enabled to walk into the supernatural. Right? Now, all of the supernatural that is being brought forth by the Holy Spirit is something that is tied to the name of Jesus. You will read, if you read through the book of Acts, everything that the disciples went out and did. Right? Everything was an exact replica of what Jesus himself did in his ministry. So everything that these apostles did was an exact replica of what Jesus did in his ministry. All right? Now the difference was Jesus was now functioning through his body, right? by the Holy Spirit. And all of these apostles were functioning as vessels of the Lord. Can you catch that? They had become vessels of the Lord by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And they were able to function in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. So all this is happening, and all of the church that stands here is a Jewish church, by the way. All these guys are all Jews. All right. There are no Gentiles at this time. And let's say verse 33, what happened? And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Very important. The other thing that they paid great tribute to was they focused on talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We just read something from the book of Ephesians earlier. And it said that when he ascended, he gave gifts. Right? So his resurrection and his ascension are very important for us to understand the power dimensions and the giftings. All right? Which is why the apostles talked about Jesus Christ risen. All right? It's very important for us to understand that the topic of the sermon was Jesus Christ. The topic of the sermon and the unveiling of the sermon was Jesus Christ resurrected. And the power of God flowed. All right? The power of God flowed. It tells you that one of the key realities we must understand is that Jesus Christ is risen. And we are functioning in his resurrection power. That the gifts of the Holy Spirit are manifesting in resurrection power. All right? And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And because they talked about Jesus risen, because their focus was on the Lord Jesus Christ, they had great grace operating in their ministry. Now we want to see that operating in everything that we bring forth in this church. We want to see a people in this church rise up and do all things in the name of Jesus. Being fully alive to the fact that Jesus is risen. That we are each members of his body. That he is functioning through each one of us. Are you listening? That when we operate in our callings, when we operate in our giftings, we are always operating in the name of Jesus. That when we see miracles taking place in our ministry, that miracle is taking place because Jesus did something through us. The Holy Spirit unveiled Jesus Christ through us. We are simply functioning as his vessels. The power being manifested is resurrection power. The power of the Holy Spirit is the power that God brought alive in Jesus Christ through his resurrection. The Holy Spirit is taking that power and he's applying that power through us. And that power is being manifested into giftings and anointings and callings that we are functioning in. The ability to speak, the ability to explain, the ability to understand, the ability to see miracles come forth. All that is the power of Jesus Christ. It is not our power. It is very important to understand this, because the anointing is the means by which the power of the cross is being released. That the anointing is the means by which the power of the cross is being released. That the reason why the anointing breaks the yoke, the anointing unveils miracles, is because through the anointing, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is being manifested. So don't ever stand up and say you have paid the price for that. If you see signs and wonders taking place, human lives transform, a drunkard becoming a saint. A person who has been womanizing, suddenly his whole life has changed. That is the power of Jesus Christ. That is not our power. We are merely operating as vessels of the Lord. It's very important for us to understand that. And so the glory must belong to the Lord. You have to train yourself in the ministry that God gives you so that you give the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and not take the glory for yourself. It's very easy to do that. You know, I fasted 40 days and 40 nights, therefore I paid the price. Sounds very logical. But how can carnality pay the price for the incorruptible? Very important for us to understand that. All right. So the apostles understood that very clearly, that they were just functioning in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, now let's turn to Acts chapter 10. From verse 1. Now this is the first time Gentiles like us are coming into the Christian church. All right? Until this time, all those whom we are reading about from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 9, all of them are Jews. All right? For the first time, non-Jews are beginning to be addressed. All right? There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter." All right? Okay. Now, verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and wanted to eat. And while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Right? Now this is another reality of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right? Seeing supernatural visions. All right? All right? So Peter fell into a trance. All right? And verse 11, and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." See, Jesus Christ died for the world. Until this time, a Jew will never mix with a non-Jew. To them, they were the people of God. To them, they were the chosen of God. They had the laws of God, and we were all unclean people because we worshipped idols. Right? So a Jew will not come into a non-Jew's house. Right? They will not do that. Right? And you will find through their history that sometimes they were even killed for that unwillingness to go and commune with Gentiles. Alright? So Peter is reacting. He's seeing unclean animals with which non-Jews ate. Right? And his first reaction is, "I don't want to touch these guys. I don't want to touch this because this is unclean." But God is saying something. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, don't call that unclean. Because Jesus gave his life for the whole world. The whole world, its sins were washed in his blood. How could that happen? God is saying now there was a reality in the faith and love of Jesus that could set every man free. That in the faith and love of Jesus, there was a power that could set any man free. So in my life, I was an alcoholic, right? If I didn't drink, I didn't sleep, right? And God set me free from that in an instant like that, right? I used to smoke like a chimney. God set me free from that, right? I used to be an angry, proudful person. Over time, God has changed a lot of that. There is still a little bit of that around. But so much of change has taken place, right? This is not, I didn't cook this up, right? Somebody changed my life. And you can find millions of Christians all over the world coming from backgrounds that are so diverse, people of every race and color, right? Rich people, poor people, right? Ungifted people, gifted people who have had tremendous changes in their life because Jesus did a miracle in their life. All right. One of the most powerful testimonies I have ever heard is one of someone who was number three in the New York Mafia. He had killed 19 people. He was a murderer. And when God touched him, he cried for 3 whole days. He just wept and he wept and he wept and he wept and he wept. The mafia put a contract on him to kill him. They tried to shoot him, the gun refused to go off. They tried to blow up his car, the explosive refused to go up. They tried to do something else, it didn't happen. So those three guys who were given the contract to kill him came and said to him, "What the dickens has happened to you? Why is it we can't kill you?" And so those three guys came to accept the Lord Jesus Christ too. Praise the Lord. Right? Amazing. Right? These are not just stories. Right? These are real life people who will stand up and tell you that's what happened. Right? Now that guy who was number three in the New York Mafia is now an evangelist who goes around the world. And he's the only one I've seen who gives an altar call and cries every time he does it. Because he's not worthy to be there. But Jesus Christ is in the business of giving people new life. Right? New life. No bluff. Right? New life. Real change. Right? Praise the Lord. Okay? Verse 17. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. Verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." All right? Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Right? Because he had seen the vision, Peter was willing to go with them. All right? Praise the Lord. Okay. Verse 30. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the 9th hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." For the first time since the time of Moses, a Jew was standing up and saying that God shows no partiality. Until then, they were of the impression that they were a superior race of people. All right? Now, for the first time, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Peter, who was appointed head of the church, is declaring that there is no partiality with God. Verse 35, "But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Praise the Lord. Okay? Verse 44. After that, Peter goes into a teaching, all right, telling them about what Jesus had done. So in verse 44, something happens. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Sometimes you will hear arguments that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a one-time thing. It was poured out once and that was all it was. Not true. God repeated it. So the Bible tells us that Peter was baptized that Cornelius and his household, who are the first Gentiles, were also baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right? And so now, 2,000 years later, the same thing is happening all over the Christian church. People are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right, so let's read this. While Peter, verse 44, right? Chapter 10. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Again, God mentions tongues. All right? Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" Right? Important words for Jews to be saying. Here you have unclean Gentiles being recognized by God just as the Jews were. All right? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. That is the water baptism. Then they asked him to stay a few days. All right? So look at chapter 11, verse 1. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. You see, being baptized in the Holy Spirit was considered receiving the word of God. Hello. Listening? Being baptized in the Holy Spirit was considered receiving the word of God. Because it is the word of God that proclaims that you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right? So listen to what God is telling you. Listen to it and receive what God has for you. All right? And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, verse 2, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. An object descended like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' But the voice answered me again from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them." Right? So the Holy Spirit communicates. Right? When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the communication of the Holy Spirit becomes something real to you. Right? "Then the Holy Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter.'" Verse 15, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should withstand God?" When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." I want to make a point here. The only reason Gentiles were admitted into the church was because they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hello. Otherwise, the Jews would never have touched them. All right? The only reason, right? Something supernatural happened. Something that was entirely an act of God. Something that was not conjured up by man. God did something, and the sign of what God did was speaking in tongues. So I want to put it to you, brethren. Don't you think you should speak in tongues? Right? Two things you need to do in your life. First is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, knowing that he paid the price for your sin, that in his faith and his love, you have a new life that he can give you. Give you. Right? The second thing you need to do is to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you can function in his power. So that you can deal with your sin through the power of God and not try to live by the laws of a religion. Are you with me? It's very easy for someone to come and tell you, thou shalt not steal. It is very easy for someone to come and tell you, you must not drink. But if you really are a drunkard, and you are really caught up in the spirit of alcoholism, you really need God to do something supernatural, because no man can really break out of that. Even if you break out of that, you'll stop drinking and start eating, right? So you exchange one sin for the next sin, because overeating is also a sin, right? Why is it a sin? Because in the Bible it is said, your body is the temple of God. So any bad habit, right, is a sin. Why is smoking a sin? Smoking is a sin because it destroys your body. Right? Why is overeating a sin? Because you eat the wrong food and it is also a destruction of your body. Right? You don't do exercise regularly, that also is a sin. I'm guilty of that one. Right? Always too busy, always got excuses not to do exercise. Right? It's a sin. Right? So we need the power of God to enable us to overcome our weaknesses. Praise the Lord. All right? So being baptized in the Holy Spirit is coming alive to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Right? Receiving and realizing what Jesus gave you. What happens when you pray in tongues? When you pray in tongues, you bring into your being the mystery of Christ. What He did for you. Amen? It can manifest in knowledge, it can manifest in wisdom, it can manifest in a strength, it can manifest in a change of character, it can manifest in power to do a miracle, it can manifest in powerful teaching, it can manifest in prophecy, it can manifest in a whole bunch of things, but they all are an expression of something that Jesus did in His ministry and life. Praise the Lord. So for instance, when you break out of a bad habit, right, you are receiving the character and nature and strength of the Lord Jesus Christ to get the change. Right? Under the law, you will just try your best. Right? And every time you sinned, you will go to God and say, oh God, I've sinned. This is the 9,718th time I have sinned against you. Right? And if you look back, you will find that you did the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. Right? So how do you break that cycle? God has to bring the change inside of you. God has to enable that change inside of you. Now to enable that change, the Holy Spirit has to bring something of Jesus into your life. To make proudful people like us humble people. God really has to do a miracle. Right? So who was humble? Jesus Christ was humble. Right? So when he wanted to wash Peter's feet, Peter said, how can you wash my feet? And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Right? So unless Jesus saves you, you have no part with him. Unless Jesus washes you, you have no part with him. In the Bible, washing means to be supernaturally cleansed, to be set free from your sin. So when you and I change, it is because Jesus has washed us. So don't come and tell me about how you paid the price. Right? Jesus washed us. Amen? That's why we change. If He didn't wash us, we wouldn't change. We will just keep on doing the same thing over and over again. Right? We will pretend not to do something and we'll do something else. Right? If you seriously want to get out of sin, then Jesus has to do a miracle in your life. If you seriously want to get out of all the anger and the hurt and the bitterness that of past years, Jesus has to do a miracle with you. Hello. How many people are angry with their own brothers? Hello. Can't forgive their own brothers. Can't forgive their own family members. Right? And it's like a poison inside of their heart. How many families where people can't even sit down and talk to each other? Now, who is going to give a solution for all that? Only Jesus can. So if you want to see your kids become good people, responsible people, give them Jesus, because He will change them. Because he is the only one who can get into the child's heart. He is the only one who can get into the hard heart of a man. So what if you are consumed with lust, watching blue movies, whatever it is? Who is going to set you free from that? Only Jesus can. Alright? But what Jesus does for you is brought to you by the Holy Spirit. It's very important for you to understand that. So how many Christians live in their own strength? After being saved, they still want to save themselves. How many Christians lead such defeated Christian lives because they are trying to do their best? They are trying to be good in themselves. It doesn't work, guys. Right? That's why when in this ministry, when I talk to people, I say, if you have a problem with smoking, let's talk, take it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't try and handle it by the law. If you handle it by the law, you have missed the opportunity to discover what Jesus can do with you. Just because you don't smoke doesn't mean you have suddenly attained righteousness. You have only attained righteousness if you break the habit in Jesus' name. So when I tell you about breaking the habit of smoking, I'm not asking you to do it by law. I'm asking you to do it by grace. I'm asking you to discover what Jesus can do for you. I'm asking you to work out solutions in your life with Jesus, not by yourself. And then you will enjoy your Christian life. You know, if you try to do something that you really don't want to do, you will hate it. If you and I are going to be genuinely good people, it has to be in our own free will. Nobody can impose it on you. Right? If you want to fast, you must fast in your own free will. Fasting by the law means nothing. What does it mean? But if you fast in the power and strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, what have you discovered? You have discovered the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have come closer to God, and you will get a breakthrough because of what Jesus brings inside of you. That's what Christian life is all about, to discover what Jesus has done for you, to discover what the Holy Spirit can take of Jesus and bring into your being. Because only Jesus saves. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you need to be, two things are necessary for every human being. You need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to open to you what Jesus has done for you. Otherwise, you will keep on going around the wilderness, just trying your best, being a miserable person. To be good, you need a change in your nature. I put it to you, if you receive the nature of Jesus Christ, there will be no desire to smoke, there will be no desire to drink, there will be no desire to womanize, there will be no desire to tell lies, there will be no desire to put a knife into somebody's back. There will be no desire to compete and destroy someone else to go ahead. If you had the nature of Jesus Christ, you will not steal somebody else's livelihood. Hello. We live in a world where so many of our leaders are all thieves. Right? Hello. In every country of all over the world, so many people who are in the professions, who are in the leadership in businesses, are leadership in government, in the legislature, parliament, so many of them, all of them are like thieves. Right? They feed on other people. They use their talents to steal from other people. They don't serve their country. They don't serve their people. They just steal. Now, who is going to change all that? Praise the Lord. So many families are breaking up. So many fathers are unfaithful to their wives. Hello. You see this every day. Who is going to make the husband stand where he should be standing? Today we live in a world where men somehow or other don't seem to have the strength to stand where they should be standing. So many children grow up without a proper father. No father figure. The father is sitting there in a pub somewhere drinking himself silly or sleeping with some other woman somewhere. Right? Or shooting heroin in his veins. right? Or gambling somewhere, right? And what is happening? The family unit is being broken. All over the world you see this. In every country of the world you see this. Hello? When someone says you can divorce one wife and marry another woman, is that how you build? Is that correct? Do you think God wants that to happen? So easy. I just renounce you, you can go and I can marry another woman. Is that how we build? What happens to the kids? As a father, are you not responsible for your own children? Who is going to take responsibility for your children? Then we dress it up and we say, God says this. God is not like that. Yeah. So today as we stand before God, two things I want to put before you. Do you want Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Shall we just pray? Shall we just bow our hearts before the Lord? Just close your eyes, bow your heart before the Lord. If God has been speaking to you today, if God has been speaking to you, just bow your heart, bow your head, just close your eyes, right? The reason why we ask people to pray closing your eyes is so that God can talk to you. So you cut out the world. Because God talks to you heart to heart. I talk to you, you watch me and you listen to me. When you want to listen to God, you have to close your eyes and open your heart because He's going to talk in your heart. He's not going to talk in your head, He's going to talk in your heart. Right? So just close your eyes. If God has been talking to you, you need to understand that He's telling you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Today the Lord wants me to ask you, do you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Are you willing to accept the fact that Jesus died for you? That He shed His blood for you? That He gave Himself for you? If you believe that Jesus gave Himself for you, can you just put up your hand? If you believe Jesus gave Himself for you, can you just put up your hand? I will say that again. If you believe Jesus gave Himself for you, can you just put up your hand? If you believe you need Jesus, can you put up your hand? You need Jesus to touch your life. I will repeat that. You know, when this happened to me, you can just put down your hand if you have put it up. This happened to me in 1988. I was in a meeting like some in a restaurant when somebody made that call. And I decided I will go out and have a cigarette. I didn't want to answer that. But suddenly I found myself walking the opposite direction. Instead of going out to have a cigarette, I was walking towards where the preacher was talking. And suddenly I realized I was 3/4 of the way there. I gave my life to Jesus after He rebuked me. So don't miss the opportunity. If God is stirring in your heart, you want a new life, you want a breakthrough in your life, you want a breakthrough in your marriage, you want a breakthrough, you want joy and peace and love and comfort in your heart, if you want the reality of God to fill your heart, then God is saying Jesus gives life. If you want to have a new life, if you want to break away from your sin, Jesus gives new life. So can you just put up your hand if you want a new life? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is strictly between you and God. It's got nothing to do with me, all right? I'm just the vessel that God is using today. This is your day to meet the Lord. So if you put up your hand, can you please come forward? Don't be shy. There will be plenty of people here. All right? Come. 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 Don't be shy. Come. All those who put up your hands. Right? Praise the Lord. Come. Yeah. Can you just pray with me? Just come forward. Come. Will you just pray with me? Just repeat the same words. I pray with your heart. This is not a religious procedure. This is your heart talking to your God. Amen. This has got nothing to do with me. All right. I am just saying the words on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. You receive him in your heart. Okay. Just close your eyes. Just pray with me. Father, open your mouth, okay? Father, thank you for Jesus. I know he shed his blood for me. Wash me in his blood. Forgive me for my sin. Change my life. Enable me to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Fill my heart. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you just stand here? Can we just lay hands on each person? Come, Ku. Moi. Stephen. Come. Josephine. There's one more thing I want to do today. I want to lead you into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I just want you to, you know, when we lead you into salvation, we typically ask you to repeat a prayer. Now, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to do the same thing. I'm going to repeat words in tongues. And I hope you will get into it as you open your heart. Can you just come forward, all of you who want to pray in tongues more powerfully? Just listen to the same words that I'm saying. Repeat them in your heart. Right? Just repeat them in your mouth. Just release it through your mouth. At first it sounds like you're repeating my words, but it'll energize something and release it from inside of you. Right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit must open from inside here, okay? The flow in tongues should open inside of here, okay? So I want you to hear what I'm going to say first, all right? Just repeat after me, okay? And then we will just pray and let the power of God come. Karabashikiri anamasanda varyanda. Karabashikiri anamasanda. Karabashikiri anamasanda. Karabashikiri anamasanda. Can you just repeat that? And karabashikiri anama. Just open your mouth and speak loud. Karabashikiri anamasanda varyanda. 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 Agaramashikiri sarabariyuri hari anamasanda variyuri hari anamasanda varyanda. Karabashikiri anamasanda varyanda. Karabashikiri anamasanda varyanda. Just open your mouth and release it. Agiravashuri anamasanda hari anamasanda variyuri hari anamasanda. Oh Lord, manifest your presence, Lord Jesus. Let, oh Lord, your hands come upon each and every one here, Father. Release, O God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Give us Shuri and Mashanda Bahariana Mazanda Varianda. Ibari Uriya and Masandoria Kira Bashuri and Mashanda Bariana Mazanda Varianda. O Gurma Shukri and Mashanda Bariana Mazandoria Kira Bashuri and Mazanda Hariana Mazanda Varianda. Ibari Uriya and Mazanda Bariana Masanduria Kira Bashuri and Mazanda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varianda. O Gurma Shikri and Mashanda Bahariana Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mashanda Bahariana Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varianda. Just open your mouth. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Hariana Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mashanda Bahariana Mazanda Varianda Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Hariana Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varia and Mazanda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Hariana Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Hariana Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Hariana Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Hariana Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Hariana Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda. Ibari Uriana Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Bahariana Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varianda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia 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 and Mazanda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Hariana Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Hariana Mazanda Varia. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Hariana Mazanda Varia. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia 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 and Mazanda Varia. Agirma Shukri and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia and Mazanda Varia.